99.1 Chap Radio, KLCT LP, Lubbock, Texas, LCU student run station in the home of Lady Chap and Chaparral Athletics. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the LCU Coaches Show live on Chap Radio and on demand on the LCU podcast. Hi, I'm Brendan Riker alongside Nathan Carcino, and we are joined today by head baseball coach Nathan Blackwood. Coach, how are you today?
I'm good. It's been a short week already. We're leaving tomorrow, so it's gonna be a quick turnaround.
How does that usually put much stress on you as you try to get through, you know, getting ready for the weekend and for the practice, and then you have something like this happen where you have to move stuff around for a series?
Yeah, you know, going into the week, we thought it was going to be a longer week since we had Sunday off with being Easter, and then coming in Monday just to get prepared and get going, and then find out that we're moving the series up a day because of possible weather in Kingsville. So it just it makes Monday and Tuesday really busy, and changing hotels, buses, getting scouting reports set up. There's just a lot to do in 48 hours, basically.
Well, before we get into the Kingsville series, let's start by recapping this past weekend series, which was against Texas A&M International, looking at game one. Of course, this was a four-game conference set that started Thursday and ended Saturday for the Easter holiday. In game one, the Chaps beat the Dust Devils 18-8 in seven innings. What were your thoughts on the offense setting the tone early on in this one?
Yeah, that was really big for us. That the guy we faced that night, their number one arm, was one of the best in the league. He'd only given up, I believe, 32 hits all year, and we put 17, I think, on him before they went to the bullpen. So I thought our approach was really good. We were getting into good positive counts and then taking advantage of it using all fields. Which is, when we're doing that, we're a really good offensive team. When we're not, like the next day, we're not. So I was proud of our guys for setting the tone that day, for sure.
A lot of different guys had multiple hits in this game, but Brevin Nicole was a home run short of the cycle with four runs batted in that game. What has made him a solid hitter, especially in this later part of the season?
Yeah, he's always been a really good hitter. We brought him in as a good hitter, and then he's just continued to get better. He's had some, you know, with his knee injury, he's had some up and down times. He changes his swing some, but overall he knows how to hit, and he uses all fields really well. And the biggest thing, to answer your question, he's just not swinging at bad pitches anymore and getting himself in good counts.
We were looking at the stats earlier, and he's out of the guys who have played the most this season, has the least amount of strikeouts with 15 so far on the season.
Yeah, that's been big. He's got a very very good recognition of the strike zone. Usually, if he takes a pitch and the umpire calls it a strike, usually the umpire's wrong. So so he's one of those guys. He can just see the zone very well.
Also, looking more into game one, Aiden Alger got the start on the bump in game one. Got into some trouble, but weathered the storm, went for 4 2/3 of an inning, allowing 12 hits and 8 runs. What did you see from him in this start?
Yeah, same as what he's been giving us, you know, consistency. He's going to give up some hits from time to time, but he's always going to be competitive. He's going to be in the zone, and he's going to give us a chance to win. And especially that day when our offense really exploded, he was the guy to be on the mound for us.
One of the highlights of this game, a pinch hit grand slam home run from Johnny Gomez III. That was in the fifth inning to go up by 9 runs. Could you take us into the dugout during that moment? What was it like witnessing that and seeing how the team reacted?
Yeah, that was great for Johnny. You know, he's that guy. We've seen that a lot out of him, especially in the fall and scrimmages, and, you know, even from his junior college days. He hasn't connected this year. He's had really good at bats every time we put him out there in a pinch hitting situation. He doesn't swing at bad pitches. He gets on base. He forces, you know, usually we put him in that similar situation where, you know, he's capable of hitting the ball out And pitchers are usually afraid of him and kind of pitch around him, and he doesn't fall into that. He kind of takes advantage of getting on base. So done a great job. And then, of course, that day, I think they went to – I think it was a lefty. It was one of the reasons we went to him in that situation. And he gets two strikes on him real quick and fouls off a few pitches and gets him into a full count, and the guy hangs a slider, and Johnny crushes it.
Looking at game two, this was the first of the Friday doubleheader, so game one was played Thursday night. And then game two was a 4-2 LCUN, not a high offensive outing like we saw Friday night, but nonetheless still a good win for the Chaparrals. Put up a crooked number in the third inning with three runs scored in that frame. And then Ryan Marquardt and Alex Stanfield combined for 8 hits, 2 runs, and only issued 3 walks. What stood out to you in game two?
Yeah, pitching that day. We pitched really well. I didn't think we hit near as good, and part of that was their guy was really good on the mound. But Marquardt back in the starting role. He didn't start the week before and came out of the bullpen last week and did a really good job. So we put him back in the starting role, and he's figured some things out and is pitching really well right now. So that was a huge deal for us to get started. And then Stanfield, who's been really inconsistent, at the first part of the year, has really figured out some things and is going to be a big part of our back end bullpen staff. And he closed it out for us, did a good job. So I was proud of both of those guys for sure.
The next game was not a fun one, not a good game to reflect on, but it's still important. It was 11-0 loss, a shutout for International. They put up crooked numbers in the second and the fourth, and the guy on the mound for International over 100 pitches and had a complete game, only allowed 3 hits in this one. What were your thoughts on that game?
Well, he pitched well, first of all. I think he got Conference Pitcher of the Week for that outing. He did what he was supposed to do and did a good job of that. But to say that you come into our place with the wind blowing out, shut us out, and give up only 3 hits, I was shocked. And so part of that was us. I think because we had blown them out the day before, I think we got a little big in our swings and saw that wind blowing out, and he just took advantage of that, our aggressiveness, and had a lot of rollovers, a lot of pop-ups, and he struck us out several times as well. So he did a good job of playing off our aggressiveness. We just got to get back to what we were good at the night before, and we didn't do that in that game.
Did you feel that his pace also threw off the offense? Because he was quickly firing every time after a pitch he'd get the ball, and within 10 seconds he's already delivered the next pitch.
Yeah, he worked quick for sure, and we slowed him down a few times. We had some guys that kind of picked up on that and were doing a good job of that, but overall, he was in the zone and just kind of kept changing up his speeds and the deception of that breaking ball. It just really, we didn't do a good job handling it.
The next day was kind of indicative of how, after a long series, you get to the fourth game of the series and not too much ability from the pitching staff to give adequate relief. This game ended up in a 18-17 final score victory for the Chaparrals. They walk it off, but a lot of different guys pitched for both teams in this game in a combined 14 hits for International, 15 hits for the Chaparrals, but ultimately the Chaparrals prevail in this one, Coach.
Yeah, was proud of our guys just for battling throughout that whole thing. We started bad on the mound. Andrew just didn't have a very good outing at all, and he'd be the first to tell you that. I think we gave up 4 or 5 early. We sent him back out for the second, knowing that we're in a situation where we can score some runs today, and so just trying to shorten the game and get some outs is what we're doing there, and ended up turning it over to the bullpen, and one guy after another just kept competing, and going back and forth. Our guys would put up some big runs, and then we'd give up some more. You know, it was just one of those days, and hard day to pitch. But you know, going into the late part of that game, we had some, you know, with Ellis and Colton Brown coming on the mound and just competing and putting us in a position to win. At that point, I knew we were going to walk off on them.
Looking at the offense in this game four, Carson Ogilvie came into it with not the greatest first three games of the series to his standards, at least, but he finishes the game 4-for-5 with a walk as well. So reached base every opportunity, came around to score 5 of those times as well, and could have if that run from third wasn't a walk-off win. So talk about his, you know, production from that leadoff spot and really bouncing back in this game four.
Yeah, he's been that guy all year, and really all his career. He can get on base. He can hit for power. You know, I think he's leading the conference in home runs.
Yep.
in the leadoff spot. But he knows what we need at that time. That's the biggest thing with him. You know, some teams are playing a shift on him, and he's getting a lot of hits to the second base hole when they do that. He's, you know, if there's a guy on third, he knows how to get him in. If there's nobody on and we need a base runner, he's going to figure out a way to get on base. He's just that. He's a ball player, and it's really fun throwing him in that leadoff spot every time.
One thing worth mentioning is we talked about Johnny after seeing him in game one. He gets a start in game four, and real quality start. He had a hit. 2 runs batted in, drew 4 walks in this and that one. What was your thought process behind giving Johnny the start in this one?
Yeah, just he's been really good for us off the bench, and you know, our DHs, we kind of had 3 or 4 different guys in that DH role, and sometimes they're producing, sometimes they're not, and you know, we just thought it was Johnny's turn, and he's doing a good job in that role. So I think, you know, in that case, it worked. I think we don't win if he's not in that role. So it's kind of, it was good for him and good for us both.
When you look at this series from a whole standpoint, you win the series 3-1. You remain second in the Lone Star Conference, 2 games behind West Texas A&M. But when you look at this series from a grand scheme of things, what was one thing that really pleased you throughout it? And what is one thing that you thought, hey, we got to work on this as we continue to move forward?
Yeah, you know, with Chavez out of the lineup all weekend with an injury, our defense was probably the weakness on the weekend. And he's a difference maker, Chavi. And so if he's not able to play this next weekend, we've just got to be able to secure some better defensive plays. And that's going to be our focus, just talking through this week and figuring out how we can play defense. It seems like I talk about it every week, but pitching and defense is how you win in this league. And the hitting is going to be up and down, but we've got to get more consistent on both that pitching and defensive side.
Well, coming up next for the Chaparrals, it is the Texas A&M Kingsville Javelinas. This game will be on the road at Nolan Ryan Field in Kingsville. And like you just said, it'll start Thursday. The series will start Thursday and wrap up Saturday with inclement weather expected on Sunday. What do you know about the Javelinas?
They're one of the top pitching teams in the league. I think they're right behind Angelo. They're gonna pitch, and they always do. Planning on them starting 4 righties, but they've got some big lefties in the bullpen that they go to. They're always tough to beat at home. I think they're a 22 win team at this point, so they're right there behind us, and it's going to be a big series for us. And you know, we're a little banged up. Gutierrez fractured his hand, so he's not even going with us this weekend, having surgery pretty quick, and hopefully we get him back soon. But, you know, losing one of your top hitters, going to one of the best pitching teams in the conference is going to be a big challenge for us.
With the team leaving tomorrow, what's kind of the approach these next couple of days getting ready for Kingsville?
Yeah, you know, yesterday is we're in the weight room and doing a lot of individual type work. Today we actually scrimmage. We'll go through BP, PFPs, our pitcher's fielding practice, and then five or six innings of scrimmage just to keep their ABs right and get some pitchers that haven't been throwing a lot, get them some work so that they stay ready to go.
What do you want to see from the Chaparrals this weekend?
I'd love to see us win a series on the road, against a good team like that. Winning 3 out of 4 would be huge, but at least a split we've got to do.
Is there anything else that you would like to share with Chap Nation before we go?
Nope, just continue to come out and support these guys. We love what you guys are doing, so let's keep it rolling.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for your time, and best of luck this weekend.
You bet. Thank you.
That was head baseball coach Nathan Blackwood joining us. We also want to give a shout-out for LCU softball, as they will be at West Texas A&M this weekend. So if you can't make the drive out to Kingsville, be sure to make the drive out to Canyon to support the Lady Chaps as they play the number one team in NCAA Division II softball. That series gets started Friday and then a doubleheader on Saturday in Canyon. And of course, your Chaparrals are at Texas A&M Kingsville Thursday through Saturday. This has been another production of the LCU Coaches Show on the Chap Radio Sports Network. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time at 8 p.m. on Tuesday on 99.1 FM and chapradio.com to catch the show. And as always, the show will always be on demand on the LCU podcast. For Nathan Carcino and Coach Blackwood, I'm Brendan Riker saying so long and God bless, and stay tuned for more great hits on 99.1 Chap Radio.